Today's episode is Poor People Sell Products. I was checking a podcast and I heard that statement, poor people sell products. I kind of understood what they were saying. I remember in my university, I'm not sure if they mentioned that, but they talk that it's good to sell more than products. It's better to sell solutions. Maybe you already heard that. But turns out that there are five levels of value that you can deliver to your customer. And as you can imagine, the higher tier of the value, the more involved, loyal, and the longer time the customer is going to remain loyal to your brand. So you want that, especially nowadays that the price of acquisition, of acquiring new customers is going to the roof. You want to keep your customers for life. So that's going to be today's episode. Before starting, I want to say thanks to the sponsor, inglesparacholos.com. By the way, today I drop a video on YouTube called Baguito y el Perro Culazo. I highly suggest you to check it out. It was interesting because the reason why I recorded that video is because I heard this podcast that I'm going to show to you today. So we're going to analyze that at the end. So time to get started. Before my WhatsApp, +51 9890 23986. The base level when you are selling something is describing the features. I'm going to call products to your product or service. So whenever I say product, you know it's any of those. The basic level is just selling the features of your offer. There are two main problems with this. First is that it's difficult to differentiate yourself if you are just selling products, because everybody can just sell a product. You become like a generic. And as you can tell, this happened to most of the professionals in the market. Since they are generics, they are easy to replace. Therefore, you cannot make a lot of money, so you don't want to be generic. And the second problem is that most of the time, people are not aware of what product will solve their problems. They are aware of their problems. By the way, sometimes they are not even aware of their problems, interesting enough. So the chances that they are aware of their problems is small, but the chances that they know what product is going to fix their problem is even smaller. That's why selling products is the lower value that you can offer to the market. Let's go to the second tier, that is selling solutions. That's more or less what we all know here. We should focus in the solution. Here is an interesting take. Many people, when they try to sell the solution, all their speech or all the time that they offer the solution to the market, they are talking just about the solution. And it's not the best way. The best way, I was doing research about this, is focus 70% of your pitch in the problem and 30% in the solution. Why? Because as I mentioned in the previous step, many times people don't know that they have the problem. Let me give you a case. For example, if you remember if you are too young to remember, but a long time ago there was a publicity called Yungay. It was, like a police officer and a woman, a blonde woman, an American woman. She came to Peru and she told the guy that she was in love with him and that she wanted to get married. I remember something like that. She said, like, I want to be with you, guy. And he said, Yungay, Hiron Yungay. And the guy sent the woman to the Hiron Yungay. It was funny. Now, it's not that funny because something similar happened to me when I was in US, in Colorado. So when I remember that shit gave me nostalgia many times. But trying to come back is that when you start to analyze these scenarios, you start to show people that they have the problem, but they don't realize that they do. It's like, you don't know how many opportunities you are missing when you don't understand that you are missing the opportunities. That's why I always tell the people, opportunities are there. Opportunities are in front of your face. But since you don't have the knowledge to solve them, you don't believe that they are opportunities. And by the way, that could be a good episode for the future. But just to let you know, if you want to sell solution, that is the second level of value, we need to first pitch the problem and make the person understand that they do have a problem. Let's go to the third level, level number three, that is selling lifestyle. This one is also interesting to dissect because many people believe that lifestyle is traveling, going all around the world, is like living la vida loca, like Ricky Martin, right? No, lifestyle is have a life with the conditions that you would like to have. By the way, you don't need to have millions for that. If you really pay attention, you take out all the bullshit that is in your brain and you ask yourself, what is the real lifestyle that I want? Usually it's not that expensive. For most of the people, including myself, a good lifestyle is just hanging out with my friends, family, and maybe some women. That is everything. For that, I don't need millions. I don't even need thousands. Maybe with 1,000 soles extra per month, I can cover all those expenses. And those are the things that made me happy. But let's come back to the thing. Remember the previous step. We say that the second step, the second level, was selling a solution. The third level is selling lifestyle. And why lifestyle is more powerful than solution? Because a good lifestyle fixes many problems at the same time. So a good lifestyle gives a lot of solutions in one hit. Let me give you a case. And also what happened here is that people don't understand how their life can change with a good lifestyle. I can give many options, but I will give one simple one. You can apply this to whatever you sell. You need to how my offer, product or service can impact the lifestyle of my customer. That's the question. But let's try to reverse engineer the process. Let's say that you start offering marketing techniques, ways to promote your personal brand, ways to work your social media. You have a professional. The professional, on average, let's say that he's making 100 soles per day. 100 soles per day, and he works 8 hours per day. What happens if you show to the professional that you can teach him how to acquire customers that are willing to pay 100 soles per hour? He can work online, and just with 2 hours, he can make double the amount of money that he's making as an employee. And not only that, he can manage his schedule, and maybe he can also work online remotely. You know, like Goofy will say, put offerton. Okay, yeah, here. Once that you show that to the customer, what start to happen in your customer's life? A lot of things. It's like a domino effect. First, he can double his income just by start to apply techniques that allow to grow his personal brand. First. Second, he has more money, so he can reinvest the extra money, the extra 3,000, because he used to earn 3,000 soles per month. Now he's making 6,000 soles per month. He can invest the extra 3,000 in grow even more his personal life. What extra happened? Now he has not 6 extra hours available. Remember, he worked 8 hours, but those 8 hours, usually you have to commute. So you have the commute in peak hour in the morning and the commute in peak hour in the afternoon or during the evening. You save the commuting time. You save hours of work. All the extra time you can allocate it to keep learning more skills, gathering with new people, networking. Now you can have more contact. So guess what is going to happen when your product fix or help the lifestyle of your customer? Suddenly everything in his life start to grow, to improve. And that's why they say that escaping the rat race is difficult. Because when you are blocked in the rat race, you are working maybe from 8 to 4. And most of the people, they don't work from 8 to 4. They work from 8 to 5. That means you are leaving your house at 7 in the morning and you are coming back at 6, best case scenario. Sometimes 6:30. So you are all the fucking day out, and that makes you eat menu, eat the Uber Eats, shitty food, bad diet. Also, when you come back home, you are lazy to study because you have been already busy and stressed all day long. Of course, there is a solution for that I pitched the solution previous episodes. That is, if you are locked in the rat race, the way to escape the rat race is during your weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. For the moment, because many companies are starting to add a sixth day, un sexto día de trabajo. So be careful. I mean, for the people that are working, if you want to escape the rat race, this is the last opportunity. Later is not going to be easier. I can secure you that. I can assure you that. Later, the cost of acquiring customers online will be higher, and the chances of you getting extra side jobs is going to be harder. So this is the time. Let's go to the next one, that is feelings. I was listening to an interview of the one and only Dana White, and what he said was genius. He said, I don't sell fights, I sell holy shit moments. And that's reality. If you have watched the UFC, the last UFC was the UFC 300. I mean, it was insane. How many hours? I think 5 hours of good fights, but extreme fights, extreme. Like, you were like, it's so good, the UFC, that after you watch the fights, you are tired, está cansado. You're like, fuck, are you you feel that you were in the octagon. That's how good it is. And that's what big, big brands know how to handle. They know how to immerse you. They sell you the feeling. Who else do that? Disney. Disney sell you the magic. All the year, Disney Park, Disneyland. And this is an interesting one. If you check, they have Disney, have their streaming version, ¿no? Su sueso de películas. They bought Marvel, all the things, yeah. Why they have the streaming version? It's not that that is the main business, no. That is just a way to reinforce their brand, because the real money is in the Disney parks, in the merchandising, and all the licensing things that they have. So that is the business. But they want to have you, they want you to have their brand in your mind. They want to sell you the magic. I have never gone to Disney Park or Disneyland, but what I can understand is that they know how to squeeze your wallet in that place. Let's include the Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz for me is interesting because Mercedes are not the fastest cars, are not the most comfortable cars to drive, because the window, if you have drive a Mercedes, the windows are small, so your vision is very... You have a lot of blind spot. You can have cameras all around the car, but it's not the same. But what they sell you is the status, the luxury, the feeling that you are powerful. And that is the level number four. Far, this is so funny. The level number four. What is the last level? The top of the tops is selling identities. And this one is scary, because who sell identities? Cults, sectas. The cults, they know how to sell identities. Who also? Religions, political parties. I was surprised today. I upload a question to my Facebook account. I'm an old guy. I love to use Facebook because I use the Facebook as a Twitter account. I ask questions on Facebook. I wish I could also ask questions on Instagram. Instagram is not that friendly for asking questions. But coming back, my question was, I was about to record the video, Baguito y el Perro Culazo. So I wanted to know some comments from my people. So before recording the video, hey, please, can you share some opinions from the movie? And people were sharing, but one person uploaded a meme of Keiko Fujimori. For people from other countries, Keiko Fujimori is a long story, but she's a motherfucker here in Lima, in Peru. It's a woman that wanted to be president many times. Okay, yeah. We all hate Keiko, for sure. I mean, it's not that... Honestly, I don't hate her. I just don't want her in power. And I believe she's part of the deep state. That is my conspiracy theory. But it's not that I hate. I don't want her close. But the thing is that many people are still uploading memes about her, even though I would say the main focus now is the current president. So it's interesting how people have this... tribe, estas tribus. Oh, no, I'm Team Keiko. No, I'm Team Comunismo. So everybody try to be a tribe, and we should get rid of that shit. We should have our own way to think. Also, if you think about Apple and Samsung, people who use Apple, no, they die Apple. They want the Apple Watch, the tablet, the computer. They spend, I mean, how much money people who love Apple spend on Apple is insane. When you have an identity thing, you can create an ecosystem. So now you don't sell just one product, you sell many products. And by the way, interesting enough, you check the case of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is like a cult, it's also like an identity thing. The people who follow Taylor Swift are the Swifties. The people who follow Justin Bieber are the believers. They are not just fans. So these brands and people and big artists, they know how to brand, to name their followers. Their followers are not just customers. They are people that has a special name. People who work in the company Amazon, I think they call them the Amazonians. They are not employees. So interesting enough. Now, those are the five levels. I hope you enjoy this thing. You can take some wisdom nuggets and apply. Of course, you're not going to apply the five levels. You're not going to go to identity once, but at least if you are selling a product, try to scale to solution. If you are selling solution, try to scale to lifestyle. Currently, I'm in the, in Inglés para Cholos, I'm in the lifestyle level. I'm trying to fix their lifestyle. That is my level now. I'm not in level feeling. I'm not in level identity yet, but I'm in lifestyle that I think is good enough. Little by little, baby steps. Let's go to the Uncle Balda tips. Two tips, fast, rapidly. First, if you want to retain your customers, there are many strategies. I was listening yesterday a podcast of the one and only Alex Hormozi. And he said this, if you want to retain customers, and by the way, all the companies gain and lose customers. That is going, any business that you are working on, that is going to happen. Sometimes you will have new customers and all customers are going to, eventually they are going to leave. Could be because they don't like your product, or maybe they don't use your product anymore, or maybe they mature, you know, like, mature not always is a good thing. For example, some people go to the gym, and this happened with the gym industry. Many people go to the gym until they have kids. And when they have kids, they don't train anymore, most of the people. So they are not going to buy supplements. So understanding that people have phases in life. But if you can retain the customers as much as possible, you are making now more money. Two ways to retain customers. Keep selling them more stuff. This is for two reasons. They are more invested to keep working with you. And the second is make them use your product. You only keep buying the things that deliver value. If you are talking about a gym membership, and this is why SmartFit, they are smart. SmartFit are smart people. They hook the people with a 20 soles membership the first month. Most of the people say, oh, puta, Ferton, 20 soles, 1 month. Yes, but they already make them sign an agreement that every month they are going to debit 110 soles. And most of the people, I can tell you, I remember the volume of customers back then in January, February, maybe March, and now it's half, 50% less. It's like Thanos disappeared 50% of the people. But those 50% people, they keep paying. If they have money in the debit card is still bleeding those 110 soles. And in my case also, I had my nose surgery. I stopped going to the gym 5 weeks. Even though I stopped going to the gym, I had to pay. But what I'm trying to go here is that yes, that technique can work, but it's not going to work for forever. Eventually, if the person doesn't use the gym, they will say, I prefer to cancel after 1 year, of course. But what I'm trying to go here is that you always want to keep your people hooked in some way. Who understands this thing is Netflix. Netflix, at least they always have one good series. More than a movie, it's one good series because they want people have them hooked with something, or at least have them waiting for something good. So that's why they know people will stay with them. And the last thing is we need to know how to package the cookie. And here I will try to expand on my video, today's video that I record for YouTube, that is Baguito. What happened? I wanted to talk about the importance of having a good attitude when you work. The importance of giving your 100% when you are working. But imagine if I do a YouTube video saying, hey, you know, the title is how to have a good attitude. Nobody is going to watch that thing. People don't give a fuck about it. Especially on YouTube. I will say on podcast is different. People who listen podcasts, they have a higher IQ. But the vast majority of people that follow YouTube, they are not as high as people who follow just podcasts like this. These are like more nerd things. So I was trying to find an excuse. I need an excuse to talk about attitude. And yesterday, coincidence of life, you know, there was this big discount in CinePlanet. I got for 6 soles. For people in other countries, 6 soles is equivalent to $1.50. The movie ticket. Puta, Ferton. I went to the movies. I saw Baguito. And Baguito gave me the idea. Because the movie was good. The script, the drama. But the plot of the movie was good. But the artists, most of the artists, not all, but 85% of the people there were pieces of trash, you know? Like, there were maybe good actors, I would say almost good, no good, but almost good, maybe 2 or 3 actors, 2 or 3 so-so actors, and the other were terrible, awful. I can assure you, if I randomly, just with my finger, point anybody in the movie theater, those random people will act better than most of the people who were actors in Baguito. But even though that was the situation, I would say that the movie still was a good one. They address a big problem that is people just, you know, dropping dogs in the streets like they don't have a soul, pieces of shit. And something that I forgot to mention in the morning is the second problem that they mention. That is, and I don't know why I forgot to mention this, but is the corruption in Peru. I mean, corruption is not new in any Latin America country. Corruption is all around the world. Let's not be naive. But where I'm trying to go is corruption even in little things. Like you have here in Peru, we have Serenazgo. That is kind of like a district patrol. It's not the police. It's like a district patrol. And many times people have party. You call Serenazgo. Serenazgo go to the house. The people in the party, they give like a menu, un platito de comida. And that is the bribe. El platito de comida is the bribe. Or sometimes they go and give 20 soles. And for 20 soles, Serenazgo play blind, disappear, and you have the motherfuckers doing party till the 5 or 6 a.m. next day. So corruption is a big problem. And why we should fight corruption? And governments, they are smart. I'm starting with my conspiracy theories, but please, bear with me. Governments are smart because always they try to redirect the attention. Always they say, oh, the problem is the rich people. There are rich people that are motherfuckers, and also there are poor people that are motherfuckers. Let's start with that. But what I'm trying to go here is that they want to focus on let's tax the rich. But the real question is, how can we reduce corruption in the system? Why? Because if you allow the rich to keep doing business, eventually that is going to translate in more jobs. But if you don't, I don't want to go nerve with the tax system. Maybe that could be a topic for other day. Like, why our taxes don't allow wealth to distribute? Because the reason why wealth is so accumulated in some few people here is because they reward people who have assets, not people who reinvest. But that is a topic for another day. But coming back to the corruption, the problem with corruption is that for little money, you destroy big projects. So let's say, going back to the Serenazgo, for 20 soles, they destroy the quality of sleep of a full block, una cuadra completa. So now these people are going to lose more than 20 soles, maybe in total 1,000 soles the next day in less productivity, just for 20 soles. And the same happened with the money that they steal in the projects. If you are here in Lima, and you say, oh, the corruption is bad in Lima, or you don't have a clue how it's in other cities. In other cities, the corruption is even worse. You just go and with 500 soles, you can bribe the mayor of the city. So, interesting enough, how can we combat that? In the same way that in Baguito, they combat the problem. It's with good journalism, con buenos periodistas. Sounds stupid, sounds simple. How a journalist can fix the problem? Journalists, small journalists that really care what they are doing, they can expose these things. The problem now is that people are distracted with random things because they don't trust regular media. But we need these little players. And you know, I have a new for you. You can be that little player. You're not going to find maybe breaking news in the whole country, but you can find breaking news in your own district, in your neighborhood, in your field of expertise. And when you talk about them, you are showing many things. First, that you care about your customers. Second, that you are a real professional. You are trying to fix your country. You are not just trying to enjoy life like most of the people is doing these days. I hope, but before wrapping, remember, always know how to package the cookie. If you want to talk about a problem in the country, always how can we make it entertaining? Because that is everything now. We have to show the knowledge, but make it entertaining at the same time. I hope you enjoyed this beautiful episode. Remember, spread the word. Tell the people to go to Uncle Balta on Spotify. And if you want to work with me, here goes my WhatsApp. +51 9890 23986.